The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of all peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lessons from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the Lord, God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message was the epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A husband and wife were sitting in their living room one evening watching TV, and a snake slithered out from underneath the couch. And the woman was absolutely terrified of snakes. So she ran, got her husband, wanted him to take care of it. So he gets a broom, sticks the handle underneath the couch, trying to pull the snake out from underneath the couch. The dog, who was sleeping on the side, now wants to know what's going on, touched his wet nose on the man's ankle. He thought the snake bit him, so he passed out. When the woman saw her husband suddenly fall to the floor, she thought he'd had a heart attack, so she called 911 and then ran down to the hospital that was a block away. When the two ambulance attendants got there, they found the man lying on the floor. They get him on the gurney, and as they're moving him out of the house, the snake comes back out from underneath the couch. Well, one of the attendants was afraid of snakes, so he dropped the gurney, dropping the man onto the floor, breaking and twisting his leg in the process. At this point, the wife comes running back in the house, sees her husband's twisted leg, and then she passes out. The one remaining attendant, he looks and sees the snake then slither out the door. Now, you ever have one of those days when one thing goes wrong and then it just starts? One thing after another. It's a chain of events that continually go downhill like that story. Nothing seems to work out right. Now, what's bad is when the days like that turn into weeks like that, that turn into months like that, and perhaps an entire year like that. Gee, doesn't that sound like a year right now? But that's beside the point. Now, we all heard the expression, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, for Christians, we're not superstitious. Ours is a matter of faith. Ours is a matter of trust. And we know that God has a purpose for everything. Everything that happens, God will use it to bring about His glory. And Paul lists in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there several attitudes or behaviors for an individual. I would even say even a congregation to have. Rejoice always. Do we always live up to those words? Do we always rejoice? Well, it's hard to rejoice always. We might feel it's an impossible task or an attitude that Paul is asking us to have. Now, the third Sunday in Advent is known as Rejoice Sunday. But it's hard to find joy all the time. Because I don't have to tell you guys, bad things happen. They even happen to good people. So is Paul being naive here? Or is Paul not seeing any earthly benefit to what he's saying, rejoice always? Yes, Paul's idealistic. No doubt, Paul is very idealistic. Paul believed that Christ was coming back for the second time any moment. He was very idealistic in what he wrote. But Paul also knew the harshness of the world. You read through the book of Acts. Let's see, every town he goes to, he preaches in the synagogue, and they drive him out of the synagogue and beat him. Then the ones in the city usually riot and beat him a second time. He gets thrown into jail a few times. He ends up getting shipwrecked twice. All right? So Paul knew what hardship was. So Paul's not being naive when he says rejoice always, because he knew the hardships of life. Much of the material in his various epistles is very practical wisdom or insight into human relationships. Now, Paul is not giving a guilt trip here. Rejoice always or else. All right? Because that would be laying down a new type of law. And I also want to be careful that it doesn't come across when we don't rejoice, we're not a Christian. That's not true. We don't always rejoice, but we are still faithful Christians. Being joyful is a precious gift. And it's not a phony, baloney, plastic, good time, rock and roll type of joy. That kind of joy, you know, rejoice always, that kind of rejoice fades away as soon as tough times comes. True joy is much deeper. Joy is not a feeling. See, we think of it as a feeling. Feelings change like the wind. Feelings change like the weather. True joy comes from Christ. And we understand that in the light of verse 24. It says, the one, referring to Christ, who calls you as faithful, he will do this. Only with Christ can we truly rejoice. When he's with us, we can rejoice in the good, the bad, and the in-between. Because we know for a fact, because he promises us that he will be with us at all times. He is what makes life worth living. You've all heard that little cliche, bloom where you are planted. Well, I read this great thing, be like a dandelion. We should all be like dandelions. Now you're going, wait a minute, I don't like those things. You realize those are the toughest little plants in the world? You realize that they can grow in the crack of a sidewalk with precious little dirt? Or they can grow in the richest garden around. And everything in between, dandelions have a way of not only growing, but flourishing. So Christians need to be more like dandelions. Bloom wherever we are planted. But above all, value the relationship we have with Christ. We can bloom because we have Christ in our lives. Now, you ever work with people who are generally, were pretty good at their job, were efficient, they met all the requirements, but they had no joy in what they did, they had no heart in what they were actually doing. It almost seemed like they were going through the motions. Then you had the other type of person who was efficient at their job, met all the requirements, but always seemed to light up the room when they entered. They always had something joyful to say, no matter what the circumstances were. And that's not being an over-optimist. Christians can rejoice no matter what the circumstances, because Christ is still in charge. People like that, they point others to Christ, the gift of joy that he offers. So in conclusion, may the gift of joy and the ability to rejoice always be given, shared, and celebrated amongst us and a host of other people who desperately need it as we look forward to the coming of the birth of our Savior. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.